Hi, this is Cricket.
This is Daisy.
And we're here with...
Matt.
We're here with Matt Ermey, who's going to talk to us and play some songs on this beautiful, sunny Sunday afternoon. It's Super Bowl Sunday today, which it will be long after that when you all hear this, but I was just having a very pleasing moment to think that we're sitting here going to be talking about music and poetry instead of watching football.
Yeah, I didn't know it was the Super Bowl today. So what are you rooting for? And I said, in what? Super Bowl. He's playing.
We were only reminded because we went to the store to buy beer and everybody was there.
Yeah.
So, are you from around here?
Yes.
Tell us about yourself.
Yes and no. I was born in New York City and I moved here with my family. I guess I was about four. So I grew up pretty much in Nashville, out south of Franklin. I moved to Knoxville when I was 18 and lived there for about 10 years and just came back, I guess, about almost two years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's coming home. It's fun to be back. This town has completely changed.
Yes, it's completely changed in the time we've been here.
Yeah, and for the better. Yeah. For the better, it's good. It's grown up. It's gotten diverse. It seems like the good old boys have had to pack up some of their stuff and move out of the way.
Leave the beauty to the rest of us.
Yeah. They're around, and that's a good thing, too, I guess. But yeah, I love it here. I love Middle Tennessee. I've been all over the place. And Tennessee always just seems to be the best.
So, wanna play a song?
Sure. Definitely.
Is this the Tennessee song?
Oh God, I don't know which one that would be. I have a lot. I read about Tennessee a lot. That's one of the things that always seems to pop. You know what you're familiar with keeps popping back up. You know, images of it and references to it, and so. Tennessee definitely shows up a lot in my work. This song I wrote New Year's Day in 2007, right after my son was born. I was getting ready to move to Nashville and you know how when you move and you come into a new chapter in your life, you do a lot of reflection. And and I remembered that, I remember when I was writing it, he would sit in the little bouncy seat, you know, and I would sit there and kind of have my foot on the thing and bounce him a little bit while I was playing the song and writing it. And certain parts of the song would make him smile and make him laugh. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to keep that part. So, yeah, so it's good. So I called it New Year Morning just because I wrote it on that day. And it was sort of about that whole turning of the page and memory, I guess, is what it's about. So, let's see. Quiet around the town, as everybody's sleeping off, burning the last one down. There's a guitar on my radio and some eggs on my stove, and there's a freight train horn blowing through the fog as it rolls on by. Shopping mall, cause all the good old boys are gone AWOL from the desks down in City Hall. Yeah, the government gets distracted every time there's a game on TV, so all the little rebel girls and boys get their chance to take back the streets. So I grab my boots and grab my hat and head out for the walk past that Tennessee riverside. That's my favorite place. Remember all of my good times, remember all of my bad. Yeah, I remember thinking memory is all I'd ever have in the end. Well, if the world's a stage, it's one crazy play, and I can only take it day by day, you can see the poets went wild with the storyline, and some of their choices have been weighing on my mind, like giving silver and gold to the crooked men, a crown of thorns to the king, and not one damn line about the queen, since Act One, Scene Three. When they put a rising tide on a timeline, smokestack cloud in the sky, fear in every human heart, and true love in a real good disguise. Me, oh my. I'm in my soft bed at night and I build a fire to warm my feet. I crack open that champagne and gobble up all my black-eyed peas. And cause I know we need some sweet relief, I'll compose a little song for you and me. And beg the poets for some mercy from their choices that we can't see coming. And I remember all of my good times, remember all of my bad. Yeah, I remember thinking memories, all I ever had. And this is Ezra's favorite part. Yeah, I remember thinking memories, all I ever had. And it goes something like this. Dee dee la dee do, diddly doo da dee da, da dee 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 la dee dee do, da da diddly doo da dee da, da da dee dee. Remember all of my bad. Yeah, I remember thinking memory is all I'd ever have in the end.
It was perfect for us because we're counting the new year starting today. So
nice, right on.
We've written off January.
And it's Super Bowl Sunday.
And it's Super Bowl
Everybody's
Sunday.
Everybody's watching the game. Awesome. Yeah, that was a fun song to write.
This is your family musical?
Yeah. Yeah, in the sense that they all love music, listen to a lot of music. My earliest memories are of music are driving around in my dad's car when I was a little kid listening to the Everly Brothers and old blues records that he had on cassette tape. And my dad's really into the blues and really into music. And in a sense, he is really a true musician because he builds instruments. This guitar he built.
Oh, wow.
And that's what he does now. He worked for years in healthcare, and when he retired, he started making guitars.
The guitar is beautiful. I was actually staring at the stars on it while you were playing.
Yeah, yeah. That was
kind of like falling into the universe.
Yeah, that was fun part, having a guitar built, because I got to pick every little thing about it, you know, tell him what to do and choose the woods, and he made it exactly how I wanted. So yeah, he started me off listening to the blues and listening to the Everly Brothers, I think, and then I just sort of went on from there and kept, you know, discovered rock and roll. Like everybody does when right. You're just turning into a teenager, and nobody in the family really, my family really plays any instruments, and they would all tell you they can't sing. But you know, a lot of people tell me I can't sing. It just doesn't stop me. But yeah, they love music, and it's definitely been around me my whole life. Nashville has turned into Music City, and that's what it's been known as. But country music. That whole, what they call Americana now, and a lot of that came out of East Tennessee and came out of Appalachia. Yeah. Migrated here, I think, maybe, I'm not a historian on the matter, but because of the business, there's a lot of commerce here, and it was more of a, back in those days, a little bit more metropolis, I guess, than it was in East Tennessee. But
yeah.
Knoxville, when I was in Knoxville, I spent, you know, I got to meet a lot of musicians there who would tell me about the history of that town, because it was being a river town, like Nashville's a river town, but the Tennessee River cuts right through Knoxville, so you had a lot of the river boats coming through, and so the culture there was casinos and brothels and bars and musicians that had a lot of work, and people were coming down out of the Smoky Mountains and playing the music in Knoxville, and a lot of country music and a lot of what turned into the country music tradition came out, I think, of Appalachia and East Tennessee. And so it's really, you go there, it's really steeped in that older kind of tradition, and they kind of have, you know, some of the people there have a chip on their shoulder about Nashville, you know, and what it's turned into, but it's, Knoxville's an amazing town, still filled with that rich heritage and that tradition that goes all the way back to the beginning, and it still has
I suppose it's a crazy place. It has this ability to kind of bring out the gritty and the wild side of you. And there's a, when I was living there one night, I was wandering around down by the river and down by Riverfront where they have the walkway and all that and some restaurants. There's this big granite stone set down into the concrete with a plaque on it from this traveler. I think his name was James Weir. And it's from the 1800s. And it said, it's a quote from him about when he arrived in Knoxville. And he said, you know, it just, the beginning of the quote describes, you know, it's what I saw. I saw the brothels and gambling and just debauchery all up and down Gay Street, which is sort of the main drag through downtown Knoxville, if you've been there, where the Tennessee Theater is and the Bijou and all that. And the Bijou Theater used to be a brothel in the upstairs part of that. And it says that he met someone in town that told him, I think the bottom part of the quote says that when the devil became too old and weary to travel, he decided to take up residence in Knoxville as he as he felt he was among friends. And yeah, the city, you know, the government of that town had put that on a big plaque right down there in the riverfront in front of the city. This is an interesting place, man, where the mayor and everybody in town who makes those decisions thinks that's an appropriate thing to put down on the waterfront. So that tells you a little bit about Knoxville.
Well, let's play another song. Let's play another Tennessee song.
Tennessee song. Okay. It's a song I wrote when I was living in Knoxville. And since we've been talking about Knoxville, I can do this one. It's called The Old Photograph. Favorite bar. We laughed as we made toasts to her newfound freedom. And our waitress had a busted lip. And her hand shook so bad she spilled our drinks. Swear I heard her say as she walked away, do you know how it feels to need forgiveness? Do you know how it feels to need forgiveness? Do you know how it feels to need forgiveness? She turned over the old photograph, said, God help me, but I ain't never going back.
That was great.
Thanks.
I'm gonna cut this part out, but I'll tell you anyway.
That sounded awesome. Really sarcastic.
I'm getting the inside scoop.
That's great.
That song was great. Let it that in. My sarcasm sounding was just that I had an intense emotional response to that song, and I could actually come out with it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
No, I knew you meant it, but you just sounded so like, that was great. No, get out.
Let's talk about poetry.
Yeah, let's do.
All right. You have one book out and another one coming out, is that right?
One book out, and I'm finishing up the second one. Yeah, and I ran into, in the last couple of weeks, a bit of a confrontational spirit with the book, where I'm reading through what's there, and sometimes things that you build and you make, all of a sudden they turn to dust in your hands and they crumble, and you have to be like, and then put it back together. So I'm putting it back together. And then, you know, it was really weird. I had this realization today when I was driving in my car, and it hit me about something that I have to write about and put in this book. And the reason the book's falling apart is because I'm not willing to write about this relationship in my life with an old friend, because I don't want to. I don't want to go there. I don't want to look at it. Put that to bed. And then I realized today that if I don't write about that, then the book's never going to get done. That's the last little segment of the book that has to go in. And, so whenever I work through that and write about that,
that book will be out.
The other book will be out. I feel pretty confident that by the end of this spring, I should be ready to roll with it. Spring or summer. But you never know. It could be another 2 years. You can't really push that, or I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know how to push it. It pushes me usually. And then I push back and lose, and it just gets done when it's done.
Do you find there's a community for that here in the same way there is music?
For poetry? Not the same way there is music, no. And I know a couple poets in this town. I've met a couple. And when I ask them, what's really going on, are there poets around and people getting together? And, it's pretty much like, no. I talked to the person who runs the poetry department at Vanderbilt University, and she said, well, really the only stuff in poetry that goes on around here is the stuff that we put on, which I get, but there's different worlds in poetry, like there is music too. You know, there's right. The poetic establishment of people who are engaged in a certain kind of dialogue with artists and their work and their community, and then there's other poets who aren't involved in that at all and are working on a different level. And I think in Nashville, I found, and even in Knoxville, there's a lot more of it in Knoxville for me, but I was there a lot longer as an adult, so I found it. But in Nashville, it seems that a lot of the people who are really sort of separated from the poetic dialogue of like the New Yorker and Iowa, just this whole kind of mindset and paradigm of poetry, they also are involved in music. So in music, I found some poets, people like Tom House.
Right.
And stuff like that, where they're working in poetry and in language specifically for the page or for spoken word without necessarily crafting it into a song, but they're also involved in music, so that's been cool. Nashville's got both of them in one. It goes back to that whole thing, you just can't get away from music in this town.
You can't.
It's in the DNA and bones of this city, which is beautiful. I love it. Okay, so song.
I would like to hear, I think it's on the new album, it's the song that has the whole part in the beginning about the things that are good and bad about Tennessee.
Look it up. Cry Freedom.
Yes.
That little country tune.
Yes.
I think this is the one you're talking about. We got the sweetest summer nights in the Southland. We've been blessed with nearly all the fireflies and the stars. We've been cursed with folks who made mistakes, like starting up the KKK, stealing healthcare from the poor, and saying no marriage if you're gay. So cry freedom, Tennessee, I can feel them stars shining down on me, up in heaven there. Darling, take me dancing one
got some beautiful folks here too. I tip my hat to Jack Daniels. God knows he's helped me out a night or two. And all my sisters and all my brothers that know the divine ain't colorblind. The rainbow's in the sky, and if the story ain't a lie, it was the divine's own kid that turned the water into wine. So cry freedom, Tennessee. Yeah, I can feel them stars shining down on me. And up in heaven, they're drinking wine. So darling, take me dancing one more time. Places in my heart, man. Don't waste your life. Cause time, she's one hell of a bee. She'll sting it, keep right on flying. So hallelujah, if you've been saved from all your fears and your hate, come join the parade of the two-step dream that recycles all the shit we make. And cry freedom, Tennessee. Yeah, I can feel them stars shining down on me. And up in heaven, they're drinking wine. So darling, take me dancing one more time. Is that the one?
That's the one.
That's the one. All right. Yeah, that song was fun to write. It started off as a little jam that I did in this honky-tonk band that we used to play in to pay the rent called the Whiskey Scars in Knoxville. And we just had a chorus, basically, and we made up the words to the verse at the shows, just rambling because we didn't have any words. And then when I moved here, it kind of came back and I was like, that's a pretty fun chorus. I should write something for the rest of that. Yeah, that was fun. It's fun to do with a band, too, because you can really get rocking them. You can really get that country, that sort of dark country thing going.
We're fans of the dark country thing.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't remember the year. I want to say it was around 2000, but I was in Chicago with my family on New Year's Eve. And we went out to this blues bar, and we were drinking. I remember I was drinking whiskey sours, and we were just getting tanked. And it was snowing outside. This big blizzard snowstorm blew in, and we were all in this warm bar just really getting happy, and there's this blues band. There's a whole story where I got on stage and the bouncers had to pull me off. And I almost got us thrown out of the club and all that, but I won't tell that story. We left the bar and we walk back to the hotel through the snow and we go upstairs in our hotel room and my whole family just like passed out. And I was wide awake and wired and so I went downstairs to the lobby and I got a cup of coffee and I went outside and sat down on the little stoop, the steps that come up to the hotel down onto the sidewalk, and I sat there and I was just drinking my coffee, watching, you know, those street lights throw that orange glow all over the snow, and it was just quiet, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning, nobody was out. And out of nowhere around the corner came this guy with a backpack on, and this really dark skinned guy, and he had this big hat on and a coat, and he just walked straight up to me and introduced and told me his name and introduced himself as a homeless person. He said, I'm a homeless man and I live on the streets. And so we started talking, and then he pulled his backpack off and he said, look, man, I'm not trying to hustle you, but, and he opened up his backpack and he had a whole bunch of like Playboy magazines and Hustler magazines. He goes, I just need some money for some food and a place to stay. He goes, you want to buy any of these magazines from me? And I was like, no, man, that's really not my thing, but I don't have any money anyway. And so, but I can go inside and get you a cup of coffee if you want. He said, yeah, that'd be good. So I went inside, I got him a cup of coffee, and he sat down next to me on the steps, and he started telling me about what it was like to be homeless in Chicago. And he started talking about how he saw the world and what he saw happening in the world and all that stuff. And then he left. I guess we talked for about half an hour or so, and he left. And I went back upstairs and pulled out a little napkin off the bar, and I just started writing all the stuff that he had told me down, and I turned it into a song when I got back to Tennessee, and I called it Poor Man's Blues. And it goes like this. And it basically is just my conversation with him that I that I tried to put into lyrics. But I'll never forget it. I can see his face, clear as day.
What can a poor man do when he lays his head down? Except try and decide whether he's lost or found. But that don't make nothing alright. Whether he believe in Jesus or believing in the tree, it don't make no difference when you out here freezing. He said, hey baby, you know it gets cold out in the night. But then he smiled and said, man, I'll be alright. When the world all around is coming down with this poor man's blue. And then he said, hey now, I don't mean to be dreamy, I don't want to sound mean, but if you only believe in it, what you see in, he said, tell me, how can you explain the wind? And he said, hey, I know you got your money and you got your house too. What about the night that wind gonna come ripping through? Is she gonna make a little mouse out of you? He said, hey, rich boy, tell me what you gonna do when the world all around's coming down with this poor man's blue. Somebody, I've learned to appreciate when you give. When you give like you crazy, he said, come on, rich boy, give something away. Cause the world don't need kings, he said, the world don't need queens. Cause there really ain't no need for rulers when we all got the same thing going wrong. He said, ain't nothing saving us now, it won't be long. Till the world all around's coming down with this poor man's blue. Tell me what you gonna do when the world all around's coming down with this poor man's blue. Yeah. And he walked away and said,
that song's also fun to do with a band. You can let the steel player rip into some really sad songs. But yeah, I'll never forget him. I'll never forget the smile and the smirk in his eyes when he was like, he kept, you know, doing his hand like this and being like, oh, y'all, all these people I watch every day, they're going to know what it's like to be me before it's all said and done. You know, I think about him now. I don't know where he is or what he's doing because he's still alive. But the way things are coming down now, yeah. I think about him and I wonder what he's thinking. Where he is, I think about people like that I meet that inspire these songs. I met a guy in Mexico like that who I had this experience with that I had the opportunity to keep him from going to prison, and I didn't rise to the occasion, and he ended up going to prison and was dragged away right in front of me by the cops in Ensenada, Mexico, and I'll never ever forget him and the story of his life that he told me, what brought him to that day and the behavior he was doing at the time that got him arrested. And I wonder where they are and what they're doing, if they're still even around this place. And to meet people like that that impacts you so much that you have to sing about them and tell their story. That guy in Chicago and that guy in Mexico, I'll sing about the two of them until the day I die. I can't stop, especially the guy in Mexico. I feel like I'm doing some sort of penance. I'm singing this song over and over again everywhere I go, hoping that I earn back the karma that I blew.
So what's the song?
It's called the Lament of Martin. I wrote this song about him based off that whole experience.
When Martin walked up, shot glass eyes, high above the road, he gently asked good strangers, "Do you mind if I impose?" And he called out to his shady friend, "Hey James, come rest a while. Maybe our new friends can point us down our next mile." An afternoon in Mexico, a fire in the sunset, a candle in the window, and I don't want to leave, but I gotta go. 'Cause when you fall out of time, it can last forever. And some things in life don't mean much if you ain't got no one to hold them with. And what we leave will call us back eventually. So we call out to El Camarero, tequila rounds on me. I tell you of the life I lost and how it came to be. See, my father, he became a ghost 10 years ago today, and cursed me that my life would change and never be the same. And now the red morning will rise and God makes time. Hate me till the night, remembering my life beneath that Arizona sky. See, my wife, she took my baby girl and ran for California and left me here with James to face the ghost cursing my name. An afternoon in Mexico, a fire in the sunset, a candle in the window, and I don't want to leave, but I gotta go. 'Cause when you fall out of time, it can last forever. And some things in life don't mean much if you ain't got no one to hold them with. And what we leave always calls us back eventually.
This is the part where the police came.
And James cried out, "Policia, gracias, good friends. Hey, Martin, let's fly." But Martin stood his ground. He could not see through them shot glass eyes. So they threw him to the ground, and in chains took him away, and left me to sing the laments of Martin and his good friend James. Afternoon in Mexico, a fire in the sunset, a candle in the window that I don't want to leave, but I'm going home. 'Cause when you fall out of time, it can last forever. And some things in life don't mean shit if you ain't got no one to hold them with. And what we leave always calls us back eventually.
So you met him so that story could be told to everybody everywhere.
Maybe. I just hope he got out of that jail. I hope he got out of that jail and he's not cursing my name wherever he is.
You have an album coming out pretty soon?
Yeah, I get it. I want it to come out this spring. I'd like to get it out before the summer comes and everybody else starts putting their records out. It's getting mastered right now. And so,
are you going to distribute yourself? Do you have a plan for what you're doing?
I can distribute it myself, like I did the last record. I've talked to some people around locally about maybe getting some help to do it, which would be much my preference, to have somebody else take on some of the burden of that. So hopefully that'll come through. We'll see. You never really know in this town. You never really know. There's been some interest shown. So we'll see. But I'm not at all opposed to putting it out myself. That's how I did my last two records, and it was great. But I'm proud as hell of this new record. It's the best thing I've ever done.
Good.
And it was done in the right way with all the right people at the right time. And
so did you just have like studio musicians?
No, I had my friends. I brought in a couple of the guys from Knoxville that I played with, who are just, you know, people that I, the steel player and the drummer I brought in from Knoxville, the pedal steel guy, who are both amazing, brilliant musicians. And they play with Everybody Fields. It's a band that's been touring around the region. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. A really good little folk group. But I've been playing with them for years in Knoxville. And I brought them in, and then Reggie, who was here, and a guy from his band, Ryan Warner, who plays in town, and a couple other people got together, and we all did it live over here, just a block away from here, over at Eric's place, over at the barn. And it was fun. We did the whole thing live, and we did it all on 2-inch tape, and so it was good for me because I got to bridge Nashville and Knoxville. I got to bring in people from both parts of my life there and record this record. And it's definitely the best one I've ever done in terms of just the songs being put together right, and the way they were rendered was right at the right time with the right people. And so we'll see. It's like recently, you know, there were a lot of people were talking about Kind of Blue by Miles Davis and how that's the best-selling jazz record of all time. And after that, people would say, why don't you do this and that and this and that? And they played it on NPR. They played a clip of an interview with Miles in the 80s. And he was just like, man, he's like, that's dead. That's gone. And he was like, we recorded that record. The weather was right. We were all in the right mood. The people were there. Everything was right. We made that record. He goes, you want to hear that record? Go buy the record. He's like, I'm done with that. I'm in a whole new place. He said, as soon as I stop being able to create something new, I'm going to die. You know, and it's like, that says a lot about the process. You always want to be doing your best, but you can't compare it to what you did before because you're not trying to recreate that. George Carlin talked about that a lot. He would say, you know, I don't do the bits from the old days anymore because I don't see myself as an entertainer. It's like, I get that I entertain, but I also am an artist and I always want to be moving forward and I always want to be discovering things. So I don't do the old stuff. I want to do the new stuff. Because that's where I am. That's what I really believe in. It's a pendulum.
Yes, indeed.
It's a shaky pendulum.
Man, I don't know what would make people happier, coffee or alcohol. I guess it depends on the time of day.
I worked at a coffee shop and we sold alcohol and coffee. You know, it's great. Yeah, 2 for $5 Guinness and $1.25 coffee all day, all night. And we were open from 3 a.m., 9 a.m. to 3 a.m. That was a great place to work. Because right about 2 in the afternoon is when the people started coming in for beer.
That's about the change.
And they just lined up the thing. And sometimes people come in and say, give me a beer and a coffee.
So let's do another song.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do this song. It's a fun one, this one called Couple of Days.
Richard is a storyteller in a small town, and his voice is true and brave. And some people there, they don't know his name, but there's some who swear that he's a sage. And he pays tribute to the moonlight and honest men with his songs of praise. And nothing comes easier than singing and strolling through his old neighborhood. One morning he laid breakfast by a sleeping homeless man in an alleyway. Oh man, there ain't nothing like an unwitnessed display of grace. And Johnny has the soul of a sailor, though he was born to a man that loved the land. And all his childhood sailed right on by beneath the tyranny father's hands. At the end of each day, man, he'd sit and wonder why, oh why, right there on the beach. See, his soul could always hear the stars telling tales of places he just couldn't reach. But despite his despair, his luck earned the love of a shipbuilder's daughter. They made an escape. Oh man, there ain't nothing like getting touched by the hands of grief. Gabriella, she's one hell of a woman. A woman no one can catch. Though men and women alike secretly dream of getting caught in Gabriella's pants. If you think you've ever seen something holy, oh man, you should see this woman dance. You should see this woman dance. You should see this. And then she'll pour that tequila, and you take the shot. It's your soul that takes the chance. She'll touch you for a moment, burn you like fire. Then she'll cool you down like rain. Yeah, she'll leave you lying in ashes, but not before she takes away all your pain. Just remember, no matter what happens, you're drinking from a cup of grace. Yeah, no matter what happens, friend, you're drinking a cup of grace. Oh man, there ain't nothing like getting drunk from a cup of grace.
A way to replicate you, and we can just keep you here all the time.
If we found a way to do that, we would have quite the collection.
Yes, we would.
Yeah, totally right. Just put a video camera right up there. Yeah, you guys are the lucky ones. You get to sit on your couch and drink beer and have people come sing songs to you on your couch.
They're rougher gigs to have.
I'm not sure what they possibly could be, but it's very hard for us.
Yeah. It's a tough gig you guys have carved out for yourself.
Let's do one more song.
Okay. All right, I'll do this song. This is one that is going to be, you know, who cares what the title is.
Time will blow your mind if you just give it a while. Time can make you cry, scream, shout, and smile. Looking back through history, time has always been tough. So I've been thinking about what it is we're living through, and it seems like the best thing, about the only thing I can do, is keep writing these songs and singing them for you. So here we go. When you're waking up, take it real, real slow. Put your hands in the air, bow your head down low, and say, let it roll. Let it roll, roll, roll. As God gets up way before you, just about guarantee she's got a lot more to do, and she's singing, let it roll, let it roll, roll. Some say that Satan never sleeps, but that ain't true. He just don't punch the clock when it's time to mess with you. He's saying, let it roll, let it roll, roll, roll. 'Cause the whole wide world's just a little spinning globe, a Cadillac burning up a midnight road. Devil in the trunk, angel in the backseat, God on the radio, and the people in the street. It's a heartbeat away, it's a southbound train. It's a girl giving birth all alone in the rain. It's a call, it's a fight, it's a renaissance, a rodeo. Yeah, and the people keep coming, they're coming and they're going. The stands in the stadium are all overflowing. The poor, poor people on the rafts in the river, they're rowing. So if you lose your house or your job or your car, don't go killing yourself. somebody else. Just let it roll. Let it roll. Roll, roll. Cause there's a lot going on here. Ain't got a thing to do with money. And you work hard to make your own milk and honey. So don't let them take it from you. Let it roll. Let it roll. Cause the whole wide world is just a little spinning globe. A Cadillac burning up a midnight road. The devil in the trunk, angel in the backseat. God's on the radio and the people in the street. It's a heartbeat away. It's a southbound train. It's a girl giving birth all alone in the rain. It's a call. It's a fight. It's a renaissance rodeo. Stadium are all overflowing, and the poor, poor people on the rafts in the river, they're still rowing. So think about Miss Dickinson's style. She stayed at home, and she wore that white dress in her garden all alone. Sewed all her songs up in little envelopes, and kept beneath the mattress, just for the ghosts. And Dirty Head Dillon was a pretty wild kid, as the blues in his soul kept him blowing in the wind. He can act crazy, he can sound a little strange, but you better listen close, cause the times still are changing. The whole wide world's a little spinning globe, a Cadillac burning up a midnight road. Devil in the trunk, angel in the backseat, God's on the radio and the people in the street. It's a heartbeat away, it's a southbound train, it's a girl giving birth all alone. It's a call, it's a fight, it's a renaissance, it's a rodeo.
Song was a beautiful end and beginning for everything we talked about.
There you go. Thank you for having me come sing.
I'm so glad.
That was fun. I like singing in living rooms. It's really intimate. And it lets me go into that almost like the same place you go into when you're writing them.
Well, hopefully everybody that's listening to this went to that place too.
Yes. Every time we do one of these, I want to run around afterwards and be like, look at what we get to do. Aren't you so jealous of me? But apparently that doesn't win you friends.
I feel the same way when I write a song or when I play a show.
Well, let's all sign off before we get too far into that.
Yes.
This is Cricket.
This is Daisy.
And this is Matt.
Thanks for sharing with us. We'll see you guys soon.
Thank you both so much. Cheers.
Cheers.